Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our consideration today is the gospel text. The translation I'm reading from is just a little bit different than ours that we read from here, which is the English Standard Version. Mine is from the New King James. Not much difference, but a little. John chapter 17, verses 11b through 19. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. The name of God, the authority of God, and the commission of God upon our lives. Jesus begins by petitioning the Holy Father. Throughout the scriptures, God, by his grace, gives us divine revelation, the word of God, that it might sanctify our lives. And one of the things that he has given to sanctify our lives is the understanding of his name, his work, the instruments that he uses for calling us, for sanctifying us, and for sending us and using us in the world to advance his kingdom and his will. The name that I have given them is the name that you have given to me. And the reason that I have given them and declared your name to them is that they may be one as you and I, Father, are one. The reason the Lord gives us these things is unity of the faith. We cannot stand in opposition to the unity of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in their proclamation of the things into the world, namely the truth. As we heard last Sunday, that to abide in the love of God is to also abide in the will of God. We do not have the authority to proclaim, to believe, and to advance a faith, an understanding of God and the things that he's given into the world, apart from that revelation that he has made of himself. Genesis chapter 4, again, as we always go back to, begins to tell us about and reveal these things about the name of the Lord. Genesis 4:26 tells us, and to Seth also was born, a son was born, and he called him Enosh. And at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. The Hebrew word there is Jehovah, or Yeshua, or Yahweh, as some might say. They began to call on the name of the Lord. This calling and this acting on the name of the Lord was a direct impact from the fall. It was about the promised one that would come through the seed of the woman, that would crush Lucifer's head, Because the devil had done this. He had brought sin and death. He had brought mankind into disobedience to God by the breaking of the commandment. So God had, by his divine counsel, as we know else in Scripture, that God himself, the only option of redemption, was for him to become incarnate in flesh, to come in bodily form to redeem us. It was the promise of that divine one that would be fully man and fully God. That was the name that men began to call on. They began to call on God that his promise to redeem us, to set us free and liberate us from the oppression that the devil had brought upon us with the fear of death and our separation from God, this one would reunite us. He said, Jesus says, while I was with them in the world, I have kept them in this very name. I have kept the unity of that proclamation all the way through the Old Testament scriptures. There is no inconsistency or deviation. But it's interesting that God has given us this blessing to be identified by his name, because he gave it to them. And when God gives us something, it is ours. It is our inheritance. It is our right. It is our title. We are the children of God. We are Jesus' children, redeemed by him. We are part of his body. But the Lord says, but now I come to you, Heavenly Father, and these things I speak into the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The joy that Jesus is talking about here, the scripture tells us elsewhere. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That's the joy. And he wants to give this joy to them, that they too truly will know, as John said in our epistle, that you might know, not a guesswork. The assurance of our salvation is something that we absolutely know within our hearts. We know that we know. There is no doubt. This is what God has given to us. I speak these things that their joy might be fulfilled. They will understand that it has been completed on the cross. I have given them your word, and the world hated them. I have given them your word. And what is the reaction of the world? It has hated us. In John chapter 15, this isn't surprising because the Lord already had instructed the apostles. He says, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me first. If you were of the world, it would love you as its own. Instead, the world hates you, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Jesus experienced nothing but hate from the governmental leaders of his day, as well as the religious leaders of his day. Why should it surprise us that this hate of the world toward Christ and his people would not continue through all of time, from the time of the ascension until the time of the second coming? This adverse relationship between Christian and the world is going to continue. But in the end times, it is going to get even worse. And already the winds of change of this great tribulation that is about to come upon the world is already blowing. In the book of Revelation, chapter 13, beginning with verse 4, they ask the question about this beast, this final world empire that is about to rise. So shocking was it that the Apostle John in his revelation and the prophets looked at this thing in wonder. And the question is, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And this Antichrist figure that will come, John even said in his epistle that there are many Antichrists in the world to come, but the big one is not yet come. Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And it says, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years at the end of time, just before the second coming. When he was given this power, what did he do? The text tells us, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. And to blaspheme his name. Do you know when the people of this world blaspheme the name of God, they're blaspheming you? Because that is our name, isn't it? It was given to us by the Lord. He blasphemed his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints, that's us folks, and to overcome them. You see, what does it mean that he was given authority to make war with the saints and to overcome them? Don't imagine that it's just one great battle where all of a sudden the soldiers jump up and go out and make war with all the Christians of the world. This warfare is a gradual thing, as the apostasy was to first set into the church. The church is to begin to fall away from the truth, the word that sanctifies them. And the government will, because the word and the Christians are not sanctifying the world through as being salt and light, this evil will just continue to grow and grow. And instead of us sanctifying them, they will begin to conform more and more Christians into his image, the image that blasphemes the name of God. And so with the destruction in this war that he has been given and granted over the saints, only in this last time, but he will begin to destroy the laws and the foundations that upheld a righteous and civil society. They will begin to throw truth to the ground. He will call darkness light and light darkness. He will add confusion. He is a spirit of confusion. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of confusion. But this one is a spirit of confusion. He has confused all of God's created order. He is implementing doubt into the very minds of people to what their very nature is. You see, the Apostle Paul told us that our battle in this world is not just physical. We are not against President Obama or President Trump or any of the political leaders of this world. That is not our battle. We are not of this world. Our kingdom is not of this world. The name that we march under is not of this world. And we are not to be conformed by it. The Apostle Paul tells us that when he delivered us out from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, he says, he has made you alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. That's the fallen world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That is Lucifer. The governments of this world are his. We saw him exercise that in the rulers of the government and the religious leaders in Jesus' day. He stood opposed to Jesus in his ministry at every crossroads. But Jesus said that he wants the Father to sanctify them by his truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification. What is sanctification? The word means to make holy. In thought, in word, in deed. First Peter tells us, just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And now this isn't something that we can do. We arrive at this state of holiness by the grace of God through faith in the gospel. He cleanses us with his blood. He fills us with his spirit. And his promises to us is the power to keep us as we abide in that sanctification, in that salvation faithfully. Paul tells us, as God has said, I will dwell with them and I will walk among them. And I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Keep your hands out of the stained, sinful political influences of the world today. Don't let be formed by these types of things and the polarization that's going on in the world between political parties, news agencies, whatever it may be. If you catch yourselves being formed by that, where you're speaking evil about your brothers or sisters in the pew because they happen to listen to the news or whatever it may be from an opposing news agency or a political party, repent. We are not of this world. The Lord said, you have heard that it says you shall not murder. But he says, I tell you that if you even say and call someone a fool because they would believe this or they'd go in such a direction, you stand in the danger of hellfire. Our text tells us that we are sent. Our Lord says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Ephesians tells us at the end of the age, he says, Paul writes, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And we are in the evil day, friends. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. And in this armor of God that the apostle, which is apostolic authority and teaching, this armor that we are to stand to resist the evil day, what does it consist of? He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. With that sanctifying word that our Lord just said, this is what's given into the world to sanctify our lives in thought, word, and deed. Before you can put on any of the other armor, your waist has to be girded with truth. Not the subjective truth of the world, of political parties, of news agencies. No, they are under the control of the father of lies. He says, gird your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, which our Lord has given to us by his divine work on the cross, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, when we become Christians, we understand that this evil day is coming. This day of judgment is coming. And so as we gird ourselves with truth about even that event, but when we truly have been born again, when we believe the gospel, we've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is coming Sunday on the day of Pentecost, we are going to celebrate in our liturgical year. That empowering empowers our feet to go warn the world, repent and believe the gospel. Because God has reconciled you back to himself. There's peace between you and God through his Son. And John was clear in our epistle today. This is the testimony that God has given. That eternal life is in the Son. That he who has the Son has life. And he who has not the Son has not life. Paul tells us again too. He says, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Christian, have you experienced the darts coming at you? Yes, I have. And Paul says, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see the cohesiveness in all of this thing, and the centrality of the Word of God and truth in who we are. We have to remember that we are not our own. The scripture tells us we have been bought with a price. We are not of this world. We don't get our identity from the systems of this world. And we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because the day is approaching. How will you be found in him? Will you hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or will you be of the camp of Judas, who, even though he had been given all the glories and the calling that the world has ever known, and yet turned his back on the very Lord of life? We're all confronted with those realities. How will you stand in that day? And what will be your confession? Again, I would hope it is, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen.